and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And with me, Robin, today are Martin.
Hello.
Hello, Martin. How are you? I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I've rarely been better.
Rarely been better. I've rarely been more excited because we're joined by a special guest today, Justin.
Hello, Internet.
Hello,
yes,
Justin.
It's good to be here.
Internet, meet Justin. Justin, meet Internet.
Nice indeed. To meet you.
Justin is an editor.
Yes.
Justin edits most of our wonderful videos.
Many, many conspiracy uncovered videos.
Yes.
Yes. How do you find editing the weird and wonderful
it's
things?
It's great. I mean, the subject topics really vary, which is fun. But it's going to be nice to see what it's like on this side of the camera.
Indeed.
You know, finally indeed. Get to see what it's like. So
have you done in front of the camera before?
No. In fact, I think the half of my head appears on one conspiracies video.
Really?
Oh, I can't
remember
which one it is.
No, it was...
But we filmed half my head for a little mini scene at the beginning. I wish I could remember the name.
I can tell them.
Yeah?
It's El Dorado, the one about the lost city of gold.
Yeah, and we just had the random idea to film it. And that's it.
Yeah, it is. We got your head against the green screen, and then we also did your hand, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
It's a really good
Didn't improve views in any way.
I think it did. It's always better.
It didn't harm them either.
Well, today we're going to be discussing... Actually, I don't know what we're discussing. Martin's got a story for us.
I have got a story. It's about a case where someone hit their head, which does happen, got severe concussion. And then when they came round and were a little bit better, they realized that they had a mysterious power, if not one for a better word.
Ooh.
Wow. Yes.
That's cool.
Hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Proper sci-fi. I've got a news item, a kind of a mystery... about tragically the loss of animal life on a lake in India. Something weird has suddenly started happening and no one knows why.
Ooh.
I thought we'd discuss that, get your views on that. We'll also be discussing our favorite comments from our YouTube viewers during the week. And then I've got a quiz for the two of you to compete to the death. I mean for glory.
Okay.
And then we also have a Patreon exclusive episode
after this,
which we're going to be shooting. So if you haven't headed over to our Patreon already, then please do if you feel like it, because we'll have another episode over there. And we've got like 50 episodes that you can go back and listen to. So there's a lot of content over there, behind the scenes stuff as well. So if you fancy more of us, then you can get it over on the Patreon too.
I always fancy more of you, Martin.
Oh, well, thank you.
But moving past my carnal desires for your body for just a moment, Martin, and briefly before we dive into the superhero story you have to tell us, I just want to say thank you to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this podcast. Now, as all of you listening are probably aware, thanks to the internet, we've never been more monitored by governments, internet service providers, and ad companies. In fact, all UK internet service providers have to keep records of your online activity for 12 months. All the websites you visit, apps you use, and your private conversations if they can. It doesn't matter if you're suspected of a crime or not, the government can look into you without a warrant. In the US, ISPs can sell your data to advertising companies. And that's why I think it's more important than ever to protect your online privacy with a service like ExpressVPN. The great thing about ExpressVPN is that it's so easy to use. You just download the app onto your device, whether it's your computer or your phone, you click connect, and you're protected. ExpressVPN encrypts your data and masks your IP address. So to protect your online activity today and to find out how you can get 3 months for free, go to expressvpn.com/bunker. That's expressvpn.com/BUNKER for 3 months for free with a 1-year package. Just pop over to expressvpn.com/bunker to learn more. But now, Martin, please tell your tale.
Okay, so let's get stuck into this story. So in October 2006, a lad by the name of Derek Amato,
heard of him? What a lad.
Yeah, heard of him? No.
Mm-hmm.
Suffered a severe concussion after hitting his head at the bottom of a swimming pool while diving in.
Ooh.
Okay?
Ooh.
So he had a pretty bad injury. It's like he had blood coming out of his ears. He had some memory loss and some hearing loss in his left ear, I believe, as well. And he had severe ongoing migraines, which he still has to this day, unfortunately. Definitely affects your quality of life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how did that happen? Was it like the shallow end of the
shallow
pool?
End, yeah. Dived in. It does happen, unfortunately. Heard a loud bang, as you would, and that's the last thing he remembered.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's just an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
When was this?
2006, October 2006. Okay. So a few years ago now.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. So pretty horrible. However, there was a positive side effect that he found. It was quite extraordinary outcome to a very unfortunate event.
Okay.
So, having not played the piano before, Derek was able to compose complex pieces of piano music ad hoc from the top of his head.
Wow. What?
Okay. So,
yeah.
In a 2014 interview, Derek said, "As I shut my eyes, I found these black and white structures moving from left to right, which in fact would represent, in my mind, a fluid continuous stream of musical notation."
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And so have they done anything like scans on his brains or brain?
Brains. They have done, but there's nothing crazily abnormal about his brain. Apart from, I'll get onto it a little bit later, but he had an existing condition that may have been awoken in a different way by this injury. So we'll get onto that.
Just a question. Is his music good?
That's a good point.
It's complex.
Now, but... I haven't heard the music, and I'm sure that technically, if he's not a traditional pianist, he's not a classically trained pianist, his technique's not going to be great. But in terms of composing, I think he does a lot of ballads. Pieces, but just to be able to play after not really playing before at all, and to be able to compose on the spot is quite incredible.
To be able to skip all those musical lessons and grade tests,
exactly. I'd love to be able to skip that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when you hear about famous musicians when they were young, a lot of the time it's, "Oh, I picked up a guitar and I found I could play." I remember reading an interview with Ginger Baker, that very famous drummer, who died recently, sadly. But he, I was reading in his obituary an interview.
An advert for his obituary.
New drummer needed. No. Basically, he was saying, you know, when he was, I think, a teenager, he went to a party and there was just a set of drums in the corner and he sat down and he started playing and people were saying, "Oh, wow, this is really good." And it just came completely natural to him.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so that's probably kind of what
he had an inclination for it anyway,
exactly,
right?
So are we saying that there's some kind of innate ability in every human brain? Some people are naturally unlocked and he unnaturally unlocked it by hitting his head really hard and he died.
But he did actually already play the guitar, but of course he had learned to play
that's the same thing, really.
It's an incredibly different instrument, isn't it? Although there's a musicality already there, and the transferable skills in terms of composition perhaps, but of course it is very, very different. And he was also into different styles of music. He was massively into rock and prog rock as opposed to the ballads he was now creating on the piano, so it was definitely a difference.
Was that accompanied by any kind of personality change?
Not that I read in the interview with him and my research. I hadn't seen any distinct personality change. Not that I can see.
Cool.
But I imagine that if you have a bit of a nasty knock and a brain injury, that can be a side effect. But it's not something that he went into specifically, because they were talking very much about this musical phenomenon.
Yeah.
So when Derek sits down to play on the piano, he has no idea what he's going to play each time. Each time it's different. And he actually there's a struggle to capture all of the notations that his mind's processing. So his mind is overloaded with all this musical notation.
Yeah.
So he has difficulty, because he's not classically trained, of transferring what he has in his mind down onto the keys, of course, and onto paper as well. So he says about this, he says that he thinks it's a compulsion and that his fingers are often doing piano structured imitation even when he's sleeping. So his brain doesn't stop or take a break, and it's constantly composing. He says, "When I do go into the studio to rehearse or vent, I guess you could call it, it's a very exciting process. I get so overwhelmed to get in there and start banging away that sometimes I get physically sick from being so overstimulated."
So
you can imagine it almost sounds a little bit hellish, actually.
It does a bit.
This kind of split between loving it and it being such a passion, a newfound passion and amazing talent. And of course, the difficulties of having a brain injury and having all this overload.
It's like an irrepressible urge to compose music for the piano.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I assume, is he married? Because that must really annoy his wife when he's just tapping away in bed.
Tap, 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 tap. Yeah. He's
trying to make love and he's just like, "Stop playing me like a piano." I want to be played like a violin.
So Derek thinks that this overstimulation is worth it, though. I mean, he's had these severe headaches, but he said that this newfound ability has had purpose and meaning to his life, additional purpose and meaning, which means that it's it's definitely worth it. And he's actually refused to take drugs to combat the headaches for fear that he'll lose out on being able to have this stimulation in his mind of the notation and being able to play piano so well when he couldn't before. So on to why this might be the case. So as I said earlier, he had an existing condition that may have helped or triggered this ability. Mm-hmm. So he also has synesthesia. Heard of synesthesia?
Heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Synesthesia?
Maybe.
So this is where you the senses in your mind overlap with one another. So you can taste colors or smell colors. Certain colors evoke pain in a very real way. So you also, one sense can not infiltrate another, but you know they're combined.
Right.
And this was seen to be, or thought to be really rare up until, I think, a few decades ago when it was considered that maybe 4% of the population have some form of this. Maybe not as severe as he had, but have some kind of overlap in senses.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you know anyone that...
No.
I think there's a famous book about that. I think Oliver Sacks, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's got a famous book. I think it was called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. I've heard
of the name of that.
Oh, maybe there's another book called Musicophilia or something that he did.
Okay.
Yeah. But sadly, I haven't read any of them. I've always meant to, but I think that's what it focuses on, is that crazy thing that happens in the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty mad. But it could be a reason. So he said that he saw lots of colors in his mind before and associated them with different things. So it could be an advance on that, seeing this musical notation in his mind and associating it with... Yeah, so I don't exactly know how that's going
to
work.
Synesthesia sounds quite similar to the results of this brain
injury. It seems like there could be a connection, but it is unknown. It's a theory about why this could have suddenly occurred.
Okay, that's interesting.
I remember when I was younger, I used to associate colours with names, and I would tell people this, and I would do it, and I would say, I'm called John, and I'd say, hey, that's kind of a red colour, and someone would say,
I'm
Edward, I'm a blue. And then I realised, after I thought about it a bit more, I was connecting... the Thomas the Tank Engine trains with people's names. It wasn't anything special in my head. I was seeing Thomas Percy Henry Edwards in my head. I was like, oh, yeah. So embarrassing.
My name's Clements. I don't know. I'm
getting nothing.
I guess there might be a bit of that, though. But it's thought that most people have some kind of association with different senses, which I think is normal, right? You think of a particular. Yeah. If you say, absolutely. I say, picture a circle, you might think of a circle in a particular color.
Yeah.
Rather than just being the circle.
Shapes are associated with colors. Don't know why.
Yeah.
I think also flavors.
Yes.
Flavors definitely have colors.
Cheese and onion, green. Although actually, they change Walkers or Lay's. They changed the colors, didn't they? They switched them around a few years back.
Oh, that's confusing. Yeah. They really messed things up.
Probably about 2000 now.
Ready Salted is still red, though, right?
Yes, yeah. Ready Salted is red.
It's called Ready Red.
Are they called Ready Salted in the US? I mean, there's so many things that we could ask you to talk about. But are Ready Salted crisps, are they even called Ready Salted, or are they just called Salted? Or original?
Or just the original.
Yeah, maybe original. Yeah.
Is anything
do they have cheese and onion in the States?
I imagine it's rare, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like a British thing.
Yeah, cheese and onion. Yeah.
Like nacho cheese is quite common, right?
Yeah.
I know in Europe, paprika's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite popular. Oregano or oregano?
Oregano. In Britain, it's oregano, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oregano overall. What's cilantro and coriander? That's one. Because it's a different word completely.
I've never heard cilantro.
Cilantro.
I didn't know what it was for years. And then, like eggplant. You hear it in movies. I'm like, what are they talking about? What is this exotic thing? And mum says, oh, you ate one last night. I was like, what do you mean? Aubergine.
Aubergine,
Okay, that's what it was. Anyway. Back to
synesthesia.
Yes.
So Derek is actually considered to be a savant.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Good for him.
And as in fact, the only musical savant who has become so as a result of an injury.
Oh.
Which is interesting. So what is a savant, and what are some famous examples, or in particular, one famous person who made the media? I'm going to go into a little bit about that. So savant syndrome is a condition in which someone... with significant mental disabilities, demonstrate certain abilities far in excess of the average. So usually relating to have exceptional memory. Mm. That's like the most common effect.
Yeah.
Around 50% of these people are associated with people with severe on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
Or autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
But it's debated because you don't, a lot of people don't want to see autism or other traditional disabilities as a disability, right?
Okay, that's true.
So there's a bit of a debate over that. But. So one of the most famous savants, I don't know if you've heard of him, is a guy called Kim Peek.
Kim Peek.
Kim Peek, not no, Tim Peek. Kim Peek, a guy from Utah, who was born with the absence of the corpus callosum. So it's part of the brain, the nerves in the brain, which connects the left and right half of your brain.
Oh, right. That's quite a big thing to be
exactly. Missing. And so he had incredible memory. And it's thought that Kim, a lot of these brain nerves had actually rewired as a result.
Oh.
So the wiring is different to most people's, which led to him having exceptional memory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He must have been really good in court cases. Really reliable. Yeah.
Well, maybe, but his IQ was actually low. It was 87 when he did an IQ test. So his IQ was low, but his memory was incredible.
Yeah.
So it's like, giving one hand, taking away with the other, right?
But still good in court cases, because you don't want someone's interpretation of events. You want the actual facts. Yeah. So
that's very true. Yeah. So Kim was able to do some pretty amazing things. I've just got a list of five of the most incredible. So he was able to read on both pages of an open book at once.
Oh, wow.
He was able to provide instant driving directions between any two cities in the world. He was able to figure out what day anyone's birthday was on.
Oh, how?
He knew, like, the calendar. So he knew he would be able to work it out mathematically.
Right, so I said I was born on this day
you say I was born
1980.
In,
so, oh, that was a Monday.
What day yes, I was, yeah.
Wow, exactly, he would know.
Yeah. I think like you totally look at someone and guess their birthday.
They're very impressive.
Oh, amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got the whole rhyme. That's a great thing at parties. It's just like, are you a Wednesday's child or not?
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know what I am. I think I'm a Wednesday's child.
I think it might have been Thursday. I'm not sure. It's either Thursday or Tuesday, one of the two.
Full of beans. What's that one?
What? Full of beans. Full of grace, isn't it?
I don't know.
He was able to recite any Shakespeare play verbatim.
Oh, that is impressive.
And he was also a good card counter, so watch out, Vegas.
Yeah. Watch out for the guy quoting Shakespeare at the tables. Yeah.
Exactly.
You will be counting your cards.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. So a very impressive guy. And he was actually the inspiration for a famous film.
Rain Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Of course. Although he in Rain Man, his character, Raymond Babbitt, Dustin Hoffman's character, was considered to have autism, whereas it was actually discovered that he had FG syndrome, which is a genetic syndrome leading to physical and developmental delays, basically. So he wasn't able to walk until age 3 or 4, I believe.
Right.
Even though, from age 18 months, he was able to remember and recite, certain objects, whereas he wasn't walking to age 4. So it's just incredible in some ways and restrictive in others.
And it's kind of interesting because to a certain extent, there's certain occupations in society where we accept people's incapabilities because they overcompensate in another area. For example, academics, as a stereotype, are not expected to be great athletes.
Yes, or even social.
Yeah, sociable or even functional on a kind of like, can you do the dishes? No, I'm busy figuring out physics.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, that's a stereotype, obviously, but we make allowances for that, don't we? And if you saw them in isolation outside of the context of you're a genius academic, it would be like, you're just really annoying and lazy, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, you get away with it, don't you, if you have a very special ability. Yeah,
something that people might be looking at a baby child who's not walking and thinking, oh, he's developing slowly, that's a problem. But actually, is it?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
If he's got other things that he can do and is good at doing, would like to do, he doesn't need to walk.
I think that's also why I love these particular stories, because it certainly turns things you would consider to be disabilities into super abilities, and that's such an amazing, such a cool story, right?
Yeah.
So Peek did unfortunately die in 2009. He wasn't that old. He was in his 50s, I believe. I think some of these issues from the FG syndrome made it a bit more of a challenge to reach old age. But what an amazing person. And as I say, despite being classified as disabled, these people are able to do such amazing things. In Peek's case, he had his super memory. And I think this is like when we talk about people and real life superheroes, are these people that are considered disabled in the conventional sense actually the closest we're actually going to get to real life superheroes having superpowers of memory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right.
Musicianship.
These are close to superpowers. There was a video Alex made a few weeks ago or months ago, I can't remember now, about real life superpowers. And a lot of those people have some kind of disability if you look at it in that way. Exactly. Say their body doesn't function normally, but it gives them a superpower.
Yeah.
Effectively. And that's cool.
It makes you think, you know, are we going to be able to engineer this at some point? Are we able to, you know, considering it's a physical thing happening in your head, you know, with the right prod, the right cut, the right whatever, be able to kind of give you these things, you think, oh, okay, you know, can we give little Timmy or little Janie?
Just a little bit of brain surgery.
Just a little push on the whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like it boosts their memory. That's got to be a reality at some point.
So if, for example, they've discovered that people who've had lobotomies are really, really good at climbing mountains or something.
Okay.
They've got great endurance.
The trials for that were quite quite difficult.
Yeah, they were. that's an extreme example. Would you do that, though? If suddenly they said, we can prove conclusively that undergoing this major brain surgery will give you this superpower.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Well, it depends what you lose.
Yeah, that's the thing. Justin, I could keep everything then. In this case, if they say, okay, Justin, you can only hop on one leg.
Okay.
But you can remember...
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, why not? It's not worth
it. So I can only hop on one leg.
It's very specific. It's very specific knowledge. Yeah.
That's the thing. I think that would get annoying.
Okay, you can.
And I don't need to know the encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia.
I could just stand normally and carry an encyclopedia in my bag with me at all times.
It's true. I do.
Sorry, that's not the point of what you're saying. But
okay, what about for a year as a trial, and you can go back to where you were? Would you do a year trial, and you can go back to as you were, just to know what it's like to be able to have that amazing memory? That's or would you go back and then be like,
because you'd be able to see how it improved your life or did the opposite, you know, kind of like annoyed you. You're like, I have no more friends, but I know what a whatever is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
is that a yes? Or are we going to do it?
I'd give it a year. Yeah. I'd give it a year. If I could pop over my skull at the end of the year and then give it another little tweak and be like, oh, you know, I've forgotten all that fantastic information, but now I don't have to hop on one leg anymore.
Just so you know, this is like an Amazon Prime trial where if you forget to cancel it before the year is over, you're stuck with it.
Yeah. You see, what happens is I got it done for my birthday, and then the next year I got so drunk on my birthday I forgot to cancel. And that's what happened.
Oh, what if the superpower was you could drink as much as you liked, you could never get drunk?
That's rubbish.
That's not
I like it. I like getting drunk.
You want to drink as little as possible. Get drunk.
Yeah, you save loads
of
money.
Or just be permanently drunk.
And no damage.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Isn't there a condition where people feel permanently drunk?
Oh, that must be horrible. It must be like nausea and dizziness. Like,
that's hell. Yeah. That is hell.
Must be. But they don't know anything else. They just know that's what's
been permanently happy and a bit.
Was that one? Yeah. There's that condition. Uncoordinated. Yeah. There's also the condition of people that can't feel pain, right? But that's what really dangerous.
Quite dangerous, yeah.
So you're going to break all your bones and not even know.
Oh, God.
Apart from your bone sticking out your mouth. Yeah, but that does sound dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah, and with that...
But, okay, if you were to have an accident such as diving into a pool and hitting your head very violently, what superpower would you like to wake up with? It could be anything. Anything at all.
I've hit my head, now I can fly.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what superpower would you like? And does it have to be related to this, right? It has to be like
a plausible one.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, okay, what new ability would you like to unlock?
I actually love this ability of musicianship. Although it does sound a bit hellish having like pretty permanent migraines, pretty constant migraines, and having musical notation flooding your head at all times of day and night.
That sound a bit.
So maybe if I could turn that tap on and off,
yeah,
it'd be all right.
Not much of a superpower, but maybe it is. I'm crap at maths.
Okay.
And I kind of envy people who are just, they just look at numbers.
And it works.
And savants is quite often one of the...
Exactly, yeah. So I think that would be incredible to kind of just have that in your head, just that ability to hand.
Yeah.
That
is cool, and that's a good choice. Because it's a practical one as well.
Yeah.
In life, that's just like, if you can just pick up a number.
Mm.
Yeah, and I feel like in this day and age as well, being a mathematician, there's transferable skills that make you very employable.
Exactly,
I think I'd probably go for something like languages, you know, being able to know. Learn, but like just know all languages.
Mm.
If I woke up and just knew languages.
That would open some doors, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Definitely would. You could talk to any stranger in any bar, anywhere in the
world. That's so true.
And then you'd be like, No, I'm actually too shy. Yeah, still sit there. It's like I don't talk to people in bars in England, anywhere else.
I will say, wow, how do you speak Swahili? And you say, well, I went swimming one day.
But what do you guys think at home? If you had a superpower, unexpectedly, which superpower would it be? And would you like to be a savant in the music or the mathematical realm?
Mm.
Let us know in the comments below. And speaking of your comments, let's talk about our favorite YouTube comments of the week.
Ooh.
So I've got a comment that I'd like to read out from VixTex. And it was a comment made a couple of days ago on our last In Plain Sight.
Ooh,
we
yes.
went to Highgate Cemetery in search of the vampire.
Ooh.
Spoilers, we may have found it.
No. Wow.
Watch the video, find out. We didn't find anything. Anyway, VixTex says... in reference to the church, which kind of looms over the catacombs in the Highgate Cemetery.
Yes.
And we talked about it. And they point out that it's interesting that the church is dedicated to Saint Michael, the heavenly defender against evil.
Oh, ooh, really? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought about
cool.
that. But yeah, that's like an interesting coincidence there.
Yeah.
So, I just thought, well observed. And I love that kind of interaction when people commenting on our videos, when our viewers can kind of bring a new perspective to the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing your opinions.
Yeah.
So yeah, what
interesting info as well. So I've got a comment from Timbo Dwabin, and this is on our disaster cover-ups video.
Oh, that's
and good. Particularly in relation to the Bethnal Green disaster in World War II.
Oh, very tragic.
And Timbo says, it's very easy to feel as though we should always be entitled to know information, but in a situation where survival of a nation is in the balance, then I think they can be forgiven. They did it because it was necessary, and as far as I'm aware, they didn't attempt to keep the information blackout for longer than it was necessary. And then he goes on to say, interesting factoid, you notice that you see the same pictures of the Blitz paraded through the media a lot of the time. Well, this is also a consequence of the controlled nature of information during the war. Journalists and photographers were forbidden from publishing or taking unauthorized pictures of the war, victims of the war, or gruesome scenes. I believe some modern researchers have looked into this and found a living survivor who talked about their time working for the Office of Censorship and had examples of annotated photographs showing how they decided what was suitable for the public.
Well, that's interesting.
So it's this balance. Yeah. Thanks for your comment, Timbo. This balance between showing what's necessary, and especially in time of war, showing what needs to be shown to keep up morale. If you're showing dead bodies and you're printing news about disasters such as the horrific one at Bethnal Green, then there's an issue with the country's morale there. They want to keep it high.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
That reminds me of something I've always reacted to, which is the whole concept of the Blitz spirit, which a certain generation is always very... keen to remind our generation of, which undeniably people pulled through the Blitz. It was a horrible time. Society pulled together. People helped each other through hard times. People endured terrible things during the Blitz. And I'm sure all three of us have relatives who were affected by the Blitz, and at least the Second World War, right?
Second World War, not necessarily the Blitz.
But this whole concept of the Blitz spirits tied in with that comment about censored photographs.
Yeah.
So like I'm always suspicious that it's a construct.
Yes.
Because you never hear the stories of, you know, the selfish, panicked people who went around looting or who went around, you know, accusing other people of all kinds of crazy stuff because they were in shock from the Blitz.
Yeah.
You never hear about the abject starvation. You never hear about the fist fights that must have happened, the people who got rowdily drunk because they couldn't cope any other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
I'm not saying those people, there's anything... I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying that you never hear about those stories.
It's tinted, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
the spirit of the Briton in the war.
Yes.
You know,
And would we be talking about the spirit of the Blitz if we had lost?
That's true.
No,
yeah, there was meant to be a huge amount of looting and kind of lawlessness at the time, which
you just don't hear about.
Really focus on. Yeah.
And that's okay. It's good to focus on the good things.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that comment is fascinating about the censorship that went on and is... Just because it worked, does that justify it?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It seems to have. In hindsight, you can always say, well, yes, because Britain's spirit pulled through. You know, but great comment and a really interesting point there.
I picked out a couple of comments from the same video you did about Highgate.
Oh, yeah.
A video I didn't work on, which I really want to see. And I really want to see because of a couple of these comments. The first one being Sausage 3 Gravy. You're out there listening. 20 minutes, 35 seconds. I heard a whisper, I think. Three people liked it. So I might have to, and more incentive to watch that video.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to watch that. and see if I can hear the spooky whisper too. And another great reason, Cathal Brophy, if you're watching.
You Cathal picked Brophy. Out the best username.
That's good username.
What's creepier, this cemetery or Robin's 3/4 length shorts? 15 likes. So another good reason to check out a creepy whisper and some potentially creepy shorts. So I'm going to look forward to watching that.
It was a hot day. I needed to wear shorts. Luckily, I wasn't wearing my short shorts. That would have been a very different
choice. Yes, yeah. 80s shorts.
Yeah.
Anything for those likes. Anything for those likes.
Just a response to the first comment you read out about the whisper. There's no audio in that program that we added. It's all, apart from the music, it's all audio from location. It's all on location audio. So, if you heard something, you heard something.
Yeah. I've checked that out.
Mm.
Cool. Well, shall we move on to a kind of more current thing? I mean, I suppose your person is still current.
Well, one of them's alive.
But something that's happening this very week, or in this very month, at least. In India, just a little mystery. It's hit the news in the West now. In CNN, have been reporting about it, and I'll read from their article. So in northwestern India, in the state of Rajasthan, there's a lake called Sambar Salt Lake, and it's a pretty big lake, actually. 190 square kilometers.
Wow.
Which is 73 square miles for our US viewers. And this is called the Salt Lake, and the salt is mined in that area. Mm. But all of a sudden, nobody knows why, dead birds keep washing up on the shores of the lake. And so far, they found 2,400 dead birds.
Wow.
All from a huge variety of species. So it's not just local birds, it's presumably migratory birds that are flying over the lake or to the lake, and they're just dying in huge numbers.
Wow.
And they're being taken away for testing. Nobody knows exactly what's doing it, because obviously there's a bit of a concern. There might be bird flu or something like that, some kind of avian disease that could then contaminate humans, particularly if anyone decides to go swimming in the lake or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
But at the moment, Ashok Sharma, who's the joint director of the State Disease Diagnostic Center, says, "We suspect that there's some level of toxicity and a high level of salinity in the drinking water."
Mm.
We'll have more details once we've completed our tests.
Salinity. They're so saying, salt.
Yes. They're saying saline. The salt in the salt lake might be killing the birds.
It's too salty. That salt lake is too salty.
Basically, it's too salty. Yeah. Which is interesting, given it's a salt lake and this is a new problem. Yeah. I'm like, well, how is it suddenly too salty? What's going on there?
There was an issue with a lake around near where I live.
Oh.
Well, where I used to live, actually. I've moved. And that was an algae was growing on the water.
Oh, yeah.
Which was basically deadly to a lot of animals. So, like, a dog had died and some birds had died, and the fish weren't doing too well with it either.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Mm. So, I mean, when the animals something you died, wouldn't necessarily think. But there was a sheen on the water. Yeah. It looked like oil on the water.
Ew.
And when I went around there the last time, there were some scientists in there collecting samples of the algae. I was wondering what it was. And then on the news a few weeks later, I saw animals. Right. That some animals had died as a result.
So. Could humans die if they ate it?
That's interesting.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh. And when the animals die, do they then infect the water? And does that cause other animals to die as well? Is that
maybe?
Because I wonder if that's what's happening here with this water, with the dead birds.
In a way, you kind of hope it's a natural phenomenon, because I don't know about you guys, but the first time I read this article, you instantly assume some kind of natural disasters occurred. I don't know if you guys thought that, but it's like having just watched Chernobyl. You kind of assume, oh God, some factory or somewhere, or some power plant, some horrible things
happened,
and someone's not mentioned it, and this is what's happening. But so in a way, it's like, oh, you know, that's kind of a good thing, not a good thing, but it's like okay, that's something we could maybe fix, or I don't know, do something about.
But the one quote that startles me is that local authorities have said, we believe it could be local weather conditions or water contamination.
Local, like, what do they mean? What do they mean?
I don't know. That's very vague. Like, should we be worried? Should the people who live there be worried?
You mean like
thousands of birds being killed by weather conditions?
What could that mean? I mean, could it be that there's a spell of really hot weather, so it's evaporated a lot of the lake water, which means that the water remaining is too high salt level concentrate?
That could be. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that's a possibility.
When they talk about the salinity of the water, maybe that could be reasoning for it. That's an interesting one, though, because weather as opposed to climate, right?
Yeah,
just local weather conditions.
Yeah, Interesting.
But I'm glad you mentioned Chernobyl because I watched that recently as well. On your recommendation, actually.
Good. And did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Good.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, it is very scary.
It was. I haven't felt such dread watching something.
Oh, I need to watch this now.
It was good. Yeah. It was very, very well done.
Yeah.
It's that beautiful storytelling where it just the camera just lingers on something for a moment and you think, oh no.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. And terrifying and kind of, this sounds bad, but like hilarious. Like the way the Russian,
that's one take. Yeah.
The way the Russians handle things, the Soviets. Well, sorry,
I mean, that's the creepy thing about it is that watching it, you know the end.
Well, that's it.
The horrible thing is watching how blasé and relaxed everyone is. You're like, no, this isn't going.
I hate it. Films like that. I felt the same about United 93.
Oh yeah,
because you know what happens. You know how it's going to end, don't you? Of course, and it just plays out. And you're like, I found that really difficult to watch.
It's literally watching a disaster unfold.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
A disaster movies, by the very nature, are difficult to watch.
yeah. Although it depends. There's the ones that are purely fictional.
Oh, of course, like the 70s
wave
where
Towering Inferno, earthquake, where it's like, oh, who's going to live? Who's going to die?
Yeah,
and then there's Titanic, where you're like, I'm just watching real people's tragedy. That's not so cool.
But with Titanic, at least it is, although it sounds harsh, it's like it's been quite a while. As in like,
yes.
Like you can't really imagine, you think of it more as like a costume drama.
Yeah,
that's true.
As opposed to it being like right now.
My great-grandmother had tickets for the Titanic.
Wow.
And didn't go at the last minute.
That's incredible.
She was pregnant with my grandmother.
At the time?
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Because she was pregnant with your grandmother, she didn't go.
She was a bit too far into the term.
No way.
And she was like, I'm going to stay and give birth here. Yeah, imagine if she'd gone.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, how many people survived?
Was it
what was the ratio?
1,500 died and 700 survived?
Oh, well, it's not a great chances, is it?
Yeah, like, and obviously she would have been like third class, definitely, at the bottom.
Although she was pregnant, so maybe she might have gone
to the boats. Yeah, that's true,
But it probably wouldn't have been good for the baby, the whole event, you know, even if she had survived the whole...
Yeah,
even if she survived and gave birth to my grandmother. My grandmother, your grandmother loves cold temperatures for some reason. She feels really at home in winter.
Back to Chernobyl, I don't know if this is relevant, but I was reading recently about the, I don't know where I was reading it actually, but it's about how the biodiversity has been since. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Isn't there some weird mutations going on?
Well, that's the weird thing, it's because... Yeah. When it first happened, there was obviously a huge amount of mutation happening. But a lot of the livestock were taken as when the people left. But a lot of the wildlife remained.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of mutation. And there, a lot of the whole biodiversity was affected because plant life was affected. And that kind of affected absolutely everything else.
Because everything,
And but now what they've seen since is that at the same time, because there's been no humans there...
It's flourishing quite well, isn't it?
It's like a flourishing of wild animals. Like a massive amount of wild animals returns to the area.
Right.
Apparently, it's more, I don't know what you'd say, it's more diverse than the safari parks because even they have some kind of human interaction and they're kind of managed. But this is just like exploded. And you do have some issues with radiation still, like a lot of... immune systems are affected and things like that. But, it's offset by the lack of interaction by people.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure that some of these animals go and chomp on some radiation in the corner of an old building and die as a result.
Yeah. And so it's weird, but now it's like this lush area of natural wildlife.
That's interesting. So it's a really good case study of the future apocalypse.
Just stop it. Yeah. Stop it, humanity.
What it's going to be like.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Gosh, imagine if in a few million years humanity has been wiped out, the earth has, nature's reclaimed the earth, and you know, an alien race lands and they're just like, there was this civilization, we've got traces of the buildings, you know, underneath layers of earth and forest. Who were they? What did they do?
What will
they
remain?
Were idiots.
these bipeds.
Yeah.
What destroyed them? Well, on a cheery note.
Yes.
Shall we do a quiz?
Oh, a quiz?
Yes.
Yes.
Forget the apocalypse. Here's a quiz.
Yeah. So, welcome to the quiz with special guests Justin and Martin. Ooh, who's going to win? Alex Brown isn't here, the reigning champion. So who's going to win?
Did he win last week?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I can't remember. Or was he doing the quiz? Or was I doing the quiz? I have no recollection. Well, let's carry on.
There's no theme. It'll be general knowledge, a mixture of history, geography, and other stuff. A bit of pop culture in there as well. But first, gentlemen, your buzzers.
Oh.
Martin, what have you got? South Park,
I've been watching classic. South Park a lot recently. So,
is it still going?
Yes, it's still going, and all of the episodes are up on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. We'll have to watch that. And
from one famous quote to another. very famous quote from famous film, obviously. If anyone knows the actor in the film that's from, please mention it in the comments. Here you go. Very famous.
That's the first quiz question.
So yes, next week we'll tell you the answer. All right then. Question number one. Fingers on buzzers. Fairly easy one. Who is the Bard of Avon? Who is the Bard of Avon? That was Martin.
William Shakespeare.
It is William Shakespeare. Correct. 1-0 to Martin. Do you like cereal, both of you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Some cereal.
Yeah, we do, cereal. Sometimes.
So, shredded wheat? You like shredded wheat?
Not bad. Okay. Mid-tier, best.
Well, question number two is about shredded wheat.
Oh.
In 1892, shredded wheat was first sold, but to whom? Or rather, to what kind of place?
Okay. This is bizarre.
I'm going to guess psychiatric ward.
No.
Get your shredded wheat. I like the idea of that. I'm going to go for... Oh my God, they've killed Kenny! You bastard! The church?
No. Although I like that you're both thinking of kind of institutions. Mm. It's not quite so institutionalized, but it's the kind of places that you'd expect to have been a fad at the time.
Shredded wheat.
What year was
fad?
It, sorry? What
1892.
Year? 1892. Places that... The first places to buy shredded wheat were kind of...
A fad. Okay.
My God, they've killed Kenny! You
bastard! I'm going to go for cinemas.
No.
People having their shredded wheat in
a
cinema.
Too early for the cinema, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Or theatre.
The universities?
No.
Oh, nice.
It's to do with diet. That's the last clue I'll give you.
Health spas?
No.
Oh my God, they've killed Kenny! Gyms?
No,
give us the answer.
Vegetarian restaurants.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even know there were vegetarian restaurants in 1892.
That's what I thought. It's kind of you wouldn't expect it in 1892.
As in, I wouldn't think that there. I think that there would be a lot of restaurants serving just vegetarian food, but I wouldn't think there'd be specific vegetarian restaurants.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's. I found this out recently. I think that there were a lot more vegetarian restaurants in the late 19th and early 20th century than you'd think, and then there was a decline.
Yeah.
And I assume it was meat decline as the cattle industry, particularly in America, exploded and meat became much more readily available.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I always assume vegetarian's quite a recent term in this country.
I thought so too, but it's been around a while.
That's interesting. I wonder what they served it with, just on its own, or milk?
Well, the Chicago Vegetarian magazine recommended the use of shredded wheat biscuits as soup croutons.
That works.
One of those giant shredded wheat, just dunking it in. So,
that's true, actually. You can't get your spoon past it.
Just soaks it all up, yeah. Okay, then. Fat. Question number three. 1-0 to Martin. The Muppets. You like the Muppets?
Not so good on the Muppets.
Which Muppet is a stand-up comedian?
Is it Gonzo?
It's not Gonzo.
I was going to guess that too.
Oh, no.
I think I can see him in my head.
What's the blue one? What's that going?
That's Gonzo.
With the nose.
Yeah, that's Gonzo.
I think it's like the orange bear one with a hat. I can't remember his name.
What's his name?
He goes waka waka waka.
Yeah.
But what's his name? Waka.
No.
I don't know.
I'll give it to Justin unless Martin can grab the name.
No, I'm not going to get it.
Okay.
Go for it.
It's Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie.
Oh, okay, you're spot on the part from the Fozzie. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's Gonzo, Fozzie. There's the Z sound there. So one all.
Oh,
question
cool.
number four. Fozzie. In the British Parliament, what is it illegal to wear? In the British Parliament. Oh, my God. They've killed Kenny. You bastard. Start in there.
Armour.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Well done.
Well,
yeah.
Done. I was going to say sword.
From a statute from 1313, ooh, it's illegal to enter Parliament wearing armour.
Wow.
Yay.
Which kind of makes sense.
It's still the case.
You don't want to want to mitigate the threat of people taking over Parliament.
Yeah.
True. What about body armour? Like the police.
Yeah, that's what my first thought.
Good point. I wonder if I updated it to cover the modern definition of armour. I hadn't. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Hmm. So, question number 5-2-1, Sir Martin. Monument Valley is on the border of which two US states? I'll give you a point for each state.
So, there's two separate monument valleys, or is it between two states?
Yeah, it's on the border of two states. Yeah.
California?
No.
Monument. Okay. Washington?
No.
Oh, I thought it'd be up from the northwest.
No, definitely south. We're going south.
Okay.
Monument Valley. No, it's the desert where all the westerns are filmed. John Ford kind of thing. Mm. With a big...
they're going to be Americans at home,
going,
you stupid idiots. Yeah. How do you not know this? I live there.
I'll give you a clue. They begin with vowels. Both states begin with vowels.
Okay. Let's go for...
Yeah, have to be polite.
No, you can buzz in. No, go for it. I'm going to make an absolute fool of myself.
They begin with vowels.
Yes.
Southern states beginning with vowels. Arizona.
Yes, is one of them. That's a point.
And what connects Arizona? This is going to make me look stupid now. Arizona and the other one beginning with Iowa.
Not Iowa.
It's nowhere near, is it? I couldn't think of any others with a vowel.
Yeah.
You'll definitely have heard
of
it.
Oh, I've heard of it. No,
I don't know.
You're going to say Arkansas.
No, not that
ooh
one.
So, I don't know my states very well.
Utah.
It is Utah.
Yes.
Well done, a point each.
Oh,
that's nice, a good, that's nice, a nice fair answer. So that's, I'm lost now.
3-2.
Yes, thank you, Martin. 3-2 to Martin. Well done. So, question number 6.
That was still made us look very stupid, because I mentioned states that were nowhere near.
It's fine. Yeah. We're British, we're allowed.
It's fine.
If any Americans criticize us, they can try naming our counties. It's fine. Mid-state.
Yeah, yeah, point to Northamptonshire on a map.
Definitely.
Okay. Cumbria, point to Cumbria.
Yeah, exactly.
switch on your 90s TV brains.
Oh,
okay,
done.
Who?
I was young, very young.
Radical.
Who are Bradshaw, Hobbs, York, and Jones? Or from which show are Bradshaw, Hobbs, York, and Jones?
90s show.
These are surnames.
Yeah.
Bradshaw.
They're cops.
They're not. I mean, they might have been at some point, but as far as I'm aware, they're not.
Okay.
Can we get a wee clue?
It's going to be difficult, right?
That definitely rings bells.
Hobbs. Bradshaw and Hobbs. Crime fighting.
They sound like TV characters.
They do sound like
they are TV characters in an American show. I think it's an HBO show. I think.
Are we looking for their profession?
I just need to know what show they're from.
Oh, what show they're from?
Mm.
It's going to be crime related. It sounds crime related, doesn't it?
Maybe.
Oh, you're misleading yourself.
I'm trying to throw you off now.
Oops. The Larry Sanders Show?
No.
I don't think I'm going to get this.
Hobbs and Jones. Clue.
Jones. Oh. No.
They are all women.
Is it the witches one, where there were witches? The Craft or something?
That's the movie. Charmed, do you think?
Oh, Charmed, yeah.
No, it's not that.
No, okay.
Hobbs, Jones, Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
90s TV show, American.
They've made a couple of movies based on the show.
Sex and the City?
It is Sex and the City!
Oh, yeah. I don't think of that as a 90s thing.
Yeah, it started in the 90s, I guess it carried on into the noughties. But yeah.
Oh, they did make a film, didn't they? Maybe two films.
Maybe two films, yeah.
Really?
Both equally bad. On to question 7. The score, I think, is 3-3.
Real?
Getting tight. Ooh. Getting tight. British geography now. Tough one.
Here we go. Move just said.
Where is Cumbria?
From Monument Valley to the Cheviots or the Cheviots. Where would you find them?
It sounds like a geographical structure. Slightly out to sea, the Cheviots.
I mean, I guess it kind of is. It's a naturally occurring
thing. Are you talking about which county kind of thing?
Yeah, which county or which region?
I'm going to go that it's down in Cornwall.
It's not.
The Cotswolds?
It's not the Cotswolds.
It's going to be like that, though, isn't it? It's going to be a national park.
I mean, there might be one in there. I think Cheviot is a national
trick
park.
Trick question. Perhaps. It's in London.
Oh, really? It's not in London.
Damn it. Can you describe what they look like? Does that give it away?
The mountains. The mountains. Yeah. Oh, mountains.
Or hills. I think more like hills.
You said hills. Scotland. Of course.
That's not the answer. You're not far off, but that's not the answer.
The Highlands.
The Isle of Skye.
No.
Oh, is it in Lincolnshire?
No.
It's Lincolnshire.
You're slowly getting closer.
Okay. Slowly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of now things that have the place and then shire.
Yeah. Oh, it's something else.
Do all counties have a shire on the end?
No. Oh, no, of course. We're looking up around the Midlands, really.
This is riveting viewing, by the way.
Let's go. North. No.
I'm going to trim this down, I think.
Yeah. No, I don't. Should we just. What was it?
It's Northumberland or the Scottish borders.
No one cares about Northumberland.
Yeah, you were close when you said Scotland. I said you were close.
Northumberland's not in England.
Well, the Scottish borders. There we go. All right, then. So that's still 3-3, I think.
Okay, well, can we just get rid of that question?
Yeah. Question number 8, history. My kind of history, early medieval stuff.
Yay.
Ethelbert of Kent was the first English king to do what in around the year 600 AD?
No, that would have been way before.
Well, depends.
Okay. Right. Oh my God, they've killed Kenny. Bring in taxes.
No, that's not the answer. Think
could it be?
Oh, yeah.
He had sex.
First king ever.
He had sex. And ever since then,
we've had sex.
Shit, we need religion.
Yeah. And the population's just boomed.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say built a church, an organized church.
Oh, no, but you're on exactly the right lines. You're so close.
Became religious? Or...
Are you closer? You're so
Christian.
Close. Became a Christian. Yes. Converted to Christianity. Yes. So close.
600, really? 600?
600, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Because the Romans were mostly Christian, but when they left, they...
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, the Celts remained Christian, but the Anglo-Saxons were all pagans because the Romans never conquered that far north in Europe, so they didn't bring Christianity to them. So when the Anglo-Saxons invaded, they were all pagan.
Yeah. What year was the invasion?
Oh, most people say it happened by around 540 AD. AD 540. Ooh. But it probably happened over some generations.
To be honest, that's not really that long ago at all, is it?
No.
Not really, in a way. Yeah, not really. Okay, so next question. And I think it is 5-4, or is it 4-3 to Martin?
4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. Okay. Question number 9. What is the French name for a toasted cheese sandwich with ham?
Is it croque monsieur or something like that?
Yes, it is.
First.
I don't know, actually.
Did you?
I'm not sure.
Anyone's watching at home?
Mine was a louder, though, which counts.
I've been mugged off here.
So, I mean, you didn't... Yeah.
Okay,
should we skip that one?
It goes to a decider anyway, that's fine.
Okay.
So I'm just playing South Park episodes now.
So it's 4-4. It's 4-4. Question number 10. Which video game character's design was influenced by the outfit worn by Michael Jackson for his 1987 album Bad? Which video game character's design was influenced by Michael Jackson's outfit in the 1987 album Bad? You got an answer.
I'm trying to go through the video game.
Just think of famous video game characters.
I mean, I'll say Sonic, but I don't think
you
that's
would be
true.
Correct. It's Sonic the Hedgehog. Hell? It is. Apparently, his shoes were based on the boots that Michael Jackson wore, and then the colors were chosen by, or inspired by Santa Claus.
Fair enough.
But isn't he wearing like trainers?
He's wearing the ones with stripes over. Well,
So the shape of Sonic's trainers was based on Michael Jackson's boots. Yeah.
Very good.
Never would have.
So that's 5-4 to Justin.
Well done.
Wins, yeah.
What a date.
But I'll give you the bonus question.
Okay.
Especially because it might give Martin the chance to draw.
Yeah.
The bonus question is, which Beatles' final words were reportedly "love one another"?
Oh, John Lennon.
George Harrison?
George Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't respond because he didn't buzz.
Still. George Harrison.
Love.
I think because he had more time to think about it, did he?
Why
John Lennon? I was just thinking the "Love and Peace" from John Lennon.
Because I think George Harrison kind of died peacefully.
He was
in his deathbed.
That's a good point. And the other two aren't dead.
Shot in the back, and you're like, "Love one another."
No, I didn't think about that at all. I just was going for the buzz to try and get the bonus question.
Well done, guys. You got my Justin.
That was great.
Sorry, it was a bit tricky quiz at times, but thank you for appearing on this podcast, Justin.
Absolute pleasure. Maybe I'll do it again one day.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, definitely. And I hope everyone at home enjoyed the topics we discussed. Mm. And tune in to our Patreon exclusive podcast if you're a Patreon supporter. Thank you again for all your support. And we'll be making that live shortly after this one. And thank you both for being here. We'll see you guys at home next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.